We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
A text from someone asking where our church was, and I thought... I should just ignore this right now, but what's more important than telling someone where our church is, right? That's the same question they said. We went to another building and we couldn't find it, so I was just texting them, and I said, it's not too late to come and get your defining moment, and they're probably going to think I'm weird, but that's important, isn't it? So, my friends, I want you to open in your Bibles, if you have them, to a passage in Matthew, I believe. Let me look at my notes here. Matthew chapter 14. You know, as a congregant, as you come to church, you're a congregant, I guess. That's what you're called. You don't have to always be on for service. You can come sit, you can fall asleep, you can do whatever you want. I'm supposed to be on when I get up here on the stage, and sometimes I just have to pinch myself and say, seriously, this is my job. This is what I do, because I love it, but, you know, I just don't got it all together. I really don't, and it's not my way of showing you, oh, look how humble he is. I just really don't have it all together, and I really don't. It's where it works with God is if you're available, He'll use you, and He'll do things through you. You just have to be available to Him, and He's going to work through you. If you question, man, I can't do anything for God. Oh man. Every week, you just watch this guy up here and see if God uses me. It is proof that he can use anyone, and I mean that. I just mean that from the bottom of my heart, because I just sometimes just am not. I just don't feel like I have what it takes to do this, and I know it's the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Can I hear an amen? If you're here today, if you feel inadequate, man. I don't know how to do this thing. God wants you to know it's not your ability, it's your availability to Him. Be available and watch what He does through you, Emmanuel. It's going to be amazing. Be amazing. You're like, get on with it. But I just love Jesus. I just love Him so much. And I know that He will cause moments to happen in your life, and they'll pass, and then they won't be again. They'll come, and then they'll pass, and you need to take hold of those moments. When God is speaking to you about a specific thing He's called you to do, some kind of dream, I want to talk to you today. If you're a dreamer, if you wish you had a dream, you wish you could do something great for God, I want to talk to you today. If you're here today and you're saying, man, if you only knew, I put on the good face on Sundays, I tell our family, you behave when you get to church. We're going to act like Christians today. And you're at home and you feel like you just don't have what it takes. I want to speak to you today. If you feel like you are in a place where you are wandering, and I say this a lot lately, but it's something that God spoke to me, wandering and wondering, wandering and wondering, what are you up to, God? I want to speak to you today. If you are here today and you are wandering and you're not wondering, and you're not wondering what God's up to, and you're not questioning, then I'm probably not speaking to you today. You don't care what God's doing, then it's probably not for you. There was a group of people that were, that's funny, the Israelites. They were in the desert. They had just left. They had just left a town called Egypt, and they started whining. They started saying, I'm hungry. What if we don't get any food out here? We're going in the desert. Are you crazy, Moses? What if we don't get any water out here? What am I going to do, Moses? What if that guy, Pharaoh, probably one of the worst meanest rulers ever finds us. He's chasing. I heard he's chasing us. What if he catches us? We are all going to be killed. I would rather go back to Egypt and make bricks out of straw than be out here risking my life for something, some promised land that I don't even know exists. If you are here and you are thinking that way, I want to get back to Egypt. I want to get back to my addiction. I want to get back to my sin. I want to get back to my depression. Would you hurry up with service so I can get back to my problems and get back to just wallowing in my problem? I'm not talking to you today. Who I'm talking to are those who are ready to get past those and are looking back. You might be looking back in Egypt. You might be looking back and thinking, I know I'm supposed to, I'm going to keep on. And let me tell you, you just keep walking. You just keep walking and watch God move. Watch him use your life. Watch him fulfill the dreams he's called you to. Watch the level of your, it sounds weird, the level of your spirituality. Watch your relationship with Jesus. Just jump to a place that you thought, man, I sure don't deserve a relationship with Jesus where I'm at, but I feel Jesus with me. You just watch as you start to walk and you be faithful, 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 because the Bible says, well, actually, it's in the Bible, but the song says that I sang when I was a kid, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father, great is thy faithfulness. He doesn't make a mistake. And there are moments in our lives, and this is the last time we're going to talk about this. You might be sick of us talking about defining moments. Maybe you're not. Say, no, I'm not sick of it. Let's just keep talking about it. Everyone say that at the same time. No, I'm just kidding. There are moments that have more weight than others. And some of you walk through those moments. They just feel like they weigh more. And sometimes it's a burden, and sometimes it's an excitement, sometimes it's a dream, sometimes it's a calling, sometimes it's you're realizing your gifting is starting to be birthed, but always it's something happening, it's not dying, it's always something birthing. There are moments, and they may not be enjoyable, and they may be great. There are all kinds of them. I'm very vague on this, but we all are in the same boat in this. And today I want to talk about moments. This is really exciting. Moments of failure in our lives. Oh, yippee. I'm going to encourage you today that if you are a failure in this room, if you are a loser, if you are a disappointment, if you are in the middle of a catastrophe, a disaster, that you probably aren't so far off from God. You're probably just still right on the route with God, because not that though he caused this to happen, but when we fail, God comes close. And you have to be careful, because if you don't get the right perspective on your failure, the defeat involved with it can label you, can define you for years to come. It could define you for the rest of your life. It could define your marriage. That the failures you've had, if you don't get the right perspective on them, they could mess you up for good. You will never do anything for God. But if you get the right perspective, then your failures can cause something beautiful. Could you say beautiful? Oh, thank you. Are you calling me beautiful? Beautiful in your life. I wrestled whether or not to share this video with you. Not that it's bad or anything. It's just been overused. I've heard these stories, and you've seen them used to referenced often. But they're so good. And it so much shows what happens even when people fail, what God can do. And sometimes they don't even realize it was God working through them. But would you just watch this? Amen. Maybe some of you didn't have glasses on, couldn't see that, but basically just recounting person after person in the history, Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, Michael Jordan, and all of their failures before they saw the success happen in their life. And you can say, well, Oprah Winfrey is not going to be my poster child today. I believe that probably if Oprah Winfrey would give everything to Jesus, that God is still, he's probably still going to use her, and he's used her already in many ways as it is. But God has plans for us. How many have ever failed at something? Would you raise your hand? Just a few of you. Oh, just a few of you have failed, all right? We've all failed. We all raised our hand. And today I want to talk about that just for a minute. Slaves let their defining moment be their fear of failure. Remember how I talked about the slaves leaving Egypt and they're saying, well, what if this? What if this? What if we starve? What if we die? And they decide, hey, I'm going to go back and make bricks in Egypt. We may have failures, but we do not let them define us without going forward with even more faith. And today I want this message, I want to call it Facing Our Failures Head On. And Lord, we just take a moment again to acknowledge you are here with us. And I just ask for your Holy Spirit to work through me, speak through me. I thank you for the privilege of being here and being able to share your word with this family that's in this place. And I don't take it for granted, this moment, but I just know I can't do it without your Holy Spirit. And us, sitting in the chairs today, we cannot hear from you without letting our ears be open to whatever you have for us. So Lord, I pray that you would anoint our ears just to hear a special word to us, that it's not just one message, but it's an individual message to us that we may take with us this week. And Lord, even beyond this week, Lord, I pray that this kind of message would be something that would never leave us, that the dreams that you put there, the emptiness that we have wondering, is there anything more, that is probably put there by you as our creator because you want us to know, I want to fill a void in your heart. I want to fill a void in your spirit that makes you feel like there's nothing left on this earth for you to live for. I have plans for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just get a glimpse of that today. In Jesus' name. How many of you have ever been afraid to fail at something? Been afraid, we've all failed. We've been afraid to fail more than we've even failed. And sometimes that's even worse than failing. Except for the fact that of my illustration, which I shouldn't have used this. I just thought of it, that it's probably worse would be to fail. And this is what I'm talking about. I went skydiving when I turned 40, and I felt like I just want to do this just one time. My brother and I, we went to Lake Elsinore, and we went skydiving. And I was asking all the questions, well, what if this happens? What if this is the one instance? Yes, I know that there's such a small risk. They tell you that anyways, I don't know. I was asking, what if? And the fear of failure was the worst thing about it. What if the parachute doesn't open? I want to talk about a guy in the Bible who did not fear failure. In fact, he would walk in with both feet to every situation, and he would not ask, I wonder if, I wonder what's got, he would just do it. And he got his foot put in his mouth many times. His name was Peter. You're right. You get a star. And here he is about to experience a defining moment. And we'll go real quickly here. It's in Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus, thank you, my brother, made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain to pray. It's a good example to follow. When evening came, he was there by himself. He already had sent his disciples in the boat, right? The boat, by this time, was a long way from the land. It was about 200 yards out. You could barely see it out there. And it was being beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And it was the fourth watch of the night, about 3, 4, 5 a.m. in the morning. I want to ask you today, have you been at 4 or 5 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and you feel like you're beaten by the waves? You may feel so far from the shore. You may think, I am never going to get out of this. This is where his disciples were. Those are the times when there is a certain person that will show up for you in your storm, and his name is Jesus. No boat, no jet ski, no means of travel. Jesus came to them walking on the sea, the last thing they would have expected to happen. But they assumed that Jesus was going to meet them on the other side. I don't know what they assumed, but they would not think he would walk out on the water and meet them. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It was 3 a.m. in the morning. They thought it was a ghost. And they cried out in fear. I will tell you something. Our minds, our flesh will tell us all kinds of things. When we meet Jesus, they thought he was a ghost. The last thing they expected was that Jesus would be in front of them. And I would say to us today, maybe you're letting your mind play tricks with you. You're letting your fear get the best of you, because it was no ghost. This was Jesus, and immediately Jesus spoke to them. Verse 27, saying, "Take heart, it's I. Don't be afraid." He knew what they were feeling. And Peter answered him, "Lord," here he is. This is Peter. This is what he does best. And sometimes we make fun of Peter, and sometimes we get down on Peter, but sometimes we could be a little bit more like Peter. All right? Would you say amen under your breath? Amen. He says, "If it's you, I want to come out there on the water with you." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. He didn't question. He didn't fear, what if I can't do it? What if I drown? He just jumped out. And what did he do? Yes, he might have fallen in a minute, but he walked on the water. It says, walked on the water. How many have walked on the water in this room today? No one. Oh, you did? You once walked on the water? Figuratively speaking. We'll talk about it later. What? I know he's giving me a hard time. He walked on the water and came to Jesus, but when he saw the what? Can you see it in the very back? You might not. One of these days you'll be able to see the screens. It'll be great. But when he saw the wind, let me pause and ask, how many times do we let the wind dictate our faith? How often do we let circumstances determine our response? He's walking on the water, people. He's walking. And then when he saw, oh my God. God, what am I doing? God, help me. I am walking on the water and there's storms all around me. What keeps us from the dreams God's put in our hearts? What keeps us from the little whispers that God is asking you to do? I wrote down a couple of things. This may or may not apply to you, but it does apply to someone in this room. What keeps you from going back to college? Maybe you want a better job and you need to get that other education and you don't have the time. What keeps you from, is it the wind? What if this happens? What keeps you from getting a job? What keeps you from applying for that job that you think you couldn't get? What keeps you from getting married? What keeps you from sticking in your marriage and not leaving it? What keeps you from getting a promotion, from birthing something new? I venture to say often what keeps us from that is the wind. We fear failure. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He was afraid and beginning to sink. Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Peter should get some credit here, because notice it doesn't say he was walking on the water, and when he saw the wind, he got scared. He started to doubt. He feared his failure. He fell in the water, and he drowned, and he was never thought about again. It doesn't say that. It says that right away, when he began to sink, he cried out. What keeps you from crying out? You say, I don't know what to do. Cry out to Jesus. You don't have, maybe you're in your house and you don't want anyone to hear you. Do it quietly. But I would say, go outside and cry out to him and say, God, I am sinking. I need your help. Would you do something? I see the wind all around me. And then it says in verse 31, something beautiful. And you should circle it and underline it in your Bible. That was what my old pastor said. And I would get so tired of it because I thought, I can circle and underline wherever I want. Don't tell me where to circle and underline. Do you know what else he used to say? Would you say with me, wind? Would you say with me immediately? Would you say, and do you hear me do that often? And if you don't respond, it's probably my fault because sometimes I didn't respond to him, and so I'm getting what I deserve. But immediately, circle it in your Bibles. It's so important. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took and caught him. I have two different versions. I'm so sorry, folks, but yes. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I love to say that after this moment in Peter's life, he learned his lesson about walking on the water and grabbed hold of Jesus. And you know what? Peter never experienced another failure in his life. He never messed up again. He never had another disappointment. But that's not true about Peter, is it? Peter had plenty of disappointments after that. He had plenty of failures. But one thing I venture to say that Peter learned that day, in that moment, Peter learned that Jesus would not desert him. Even in the waves, even in the wind, even when he's questioning if the dreams were real, he would not let his failure, Jesus would not let his failure be criteria for using Peter in the future. And I would say that to you today. Would you list all of your failures and all your mistakes and all your questions and all your worries? Well, because of all of these, Jesus would say, yeah, I can't use you anymore because you've done this and this and this. That's not how our Jesus works. Our Jesus lets those moments happen, and he still decides to use us. And it's called this. It's called grace. I don't know if you've heard the song. It's not very popular. It's called Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a moron like you, right? I don't want to be disrespectful, but sometimes I just have to get your attention because I know some of you are falling asleep because you are not a good Christian. You're not a good believer. And that's all right if you're not a good Christian. I've never fell asleep in church. Now, I don't see anyone sleeping, but Amazing Grace. We need to understand God's amazing grace. It's an important characteristic about Jesus to learn. If you want to keep disappointment from defining you, you need to realize there is this grace that's amazing for you. And the reason it's amazing is because even though you've done what you've done, for some reason, God still desires to use you. He still has a plan for you. He still will use you in your failures. Listen to this and write it down in your minds. Defining moments happen when you realize through failure, I will experience the presence of Jesus on the stormy ocean of my life. Could I have some music? I'm going to say that again. We're going to close here in just a couple of minutes. Defining moments happen when you realize through failure, I will still experience the presence of Jesus on the stormy ocean of my life. I might not avoid the stormy ocean of my life, but I will still experience God's presence in the midst of it. Here's the encouragement Paul says. Here's the way he sees it. And I want to read this scripture to you, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He talks about our difficult times, our disappointment, our mistakes, and our failures, and he puts it into perspective, because you've got to have the right perspective on your failures, or else they might define you for the rest of your life. Here's a great perspective, all right? I'm going to say it two ways. The first one is in the New International Version. It's a more literal translation. It says this, for our light and monetary problems, wait. My problems aren't light, and my problems aren't monetary. Paul, you're speaking over yourself right now. This is not who I am. Yeah, he says, your light, your monetary troubles are achieving for us. This is offensive. If you take it to heart, you'll be offended, and the gospel does that to us. It says, it will achieve for you an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. All those other moments, those defining moments, they weigh so much, and they far outweigh them all. Let me say it in another way. This is in the Message version. Would you put it up there? These hard times, I like that better than small, monetary, little, petty, such a wimp. That's how Paul was talking. But the Message version kind of helps young people understand and dumb people understand. And not that any of you are either of those. I hope you feel like you're young. But it says this, these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. Underline that. Coming good times. We got good times coming. The lavish celebration prepared for you. I ask you the question as we close. Are you willing to let failures and disasters and catastrophes and defeat come, knowing that through them you will see greater glory? You will experience greater success. You will get closer to Jesus. No, I'm not willing. Not me. No, thank you. And if that's you, that's okay. You can say, not right now. I'm not willing to allow these to, it's not going to be a defining moment. But at some point, where you're at, what you're going through, that will be a defining moment where God will get closer to you. And I just want to ask this too. And I heard it somewhere else. I don't remember who said it. But I liked it, and I always remember it when I talk about, when I read about Peter and falling in the water. Are you willing? It's so unreligious. I like the way it says it, so I'm just going to say, are you willing to get wet? Are you willing to get wet? There are so many dry Christians. And I don't mean you can use it figuratively for other, I'm not talking about anything but stepping out for Jesus. Out of your comfort zone. Are you willing to get a little wet? Peter was soaked. He got in the boat, he was wet. And you can criticize him, and we're the first to do it. Oh, look what Peter did. I can't believe he would. Oh, man. But Peter got wet for Jesus. And so many of us, I'm not going to say even me, I know, especially me, I'll sometimes be so careful to stay dry. I don't even know where a towel is right now. Jesus, I can't do this for you right now. I'm going to just stay right here in the boat and cry like all the rest of the disciples and think you're a ghost. I don't want to get out and say, are you Jesus? If you are, I'm walking before I even hear you. And he starts walking and Jesus is like, yeah, I'm who I say I am. And he got a little wet. Can I submit to you that greater than your failure, it's okay to fail. Step out, get a little wet. I keep wanting to step up the stage to kind of illustrate this, and you're probably afraid that I'm going to fall or something, but be willing to get a little wet. Don't be so afraid of failure that you don't fail. G.D. Jakes says, call your failure an education. It's an education. Fear of failure keeps you from learning, from growing, from achieving the things God's called you to. When you fail, you'll find out it's not so bad because God was right next to you. He's always wanting to birth something new in you. Would you bow your heads? You don't have to bow your heads if you don't want to, but maybe for you, you just need to focus on God for a minute. You don't want to get distracted. But there are three groups of us in the room today. I'm going to explain it like this, and there's a lot of other ways to explain it, but I'm going to explain it like this. There are risk takers, and if you take this too far, you could get unbiblical, because there's certain risks that you're not supposed to take. Probably shouldn't have even jumped off a plane with a parachute. That's probably a bad risk. There are risk takers, there are caretakers, and there are undertakers. And you're in one of those three categories today. Even if whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you're still in one of those three categories. You're so afraid of failing that maybe you're a caretaker. I'm just trying to take care of this little patch of grass. I hope it doesn't die. Oh, no, don't step on it. Oh, don't sit on it with your blanket and have a picnic. I want it to stay perfect. I don't want it to get messed up. And you're caring for your little situation in your little life, and you're not ever stepping out. You're not ever thinking God can use you because you just want to make it to heaven. I just want to get there. I don't want anything to distract me. And you probably will make it to heaven, even as a caretaker. I'm just taking care. Then there's another group that's a undertaker. And instead of just taking care of your area, you're just waiting to die. You're just waiting for that day when it's over because you're failing and you've been a failure and you're afraid of failure and you're sick and you have problems and all this stuff and you list them one by one. You might even put them on your Instagram. And I say, don't put them on your Instagram. Put your happy moments on your Instagram. You're an undertaker, and I want to tell you today, Jesus only wants to birth. He doesn't want to kill in your life. He doesn't want things to die. He wants to bring birth. He wants to bring life through you and in you. And then there's the other group, the risk taker. And if you decide to be a risk taker, you know that you might have to give up a little comfort to get your solution. The Israelites, when they left Egypt, it was not completely comfortable for them to get to their promised land. But I do know this for sure. There is a promised land for you. God wants you to get there. You might need to give something up. If you're here in this room today and you need to respond to Jesus in some way, I ask you just to talk to him. If you're in one of those other, I'm not going to say you need to be a risk taker today, but if you're in a situation and you're afraid of failure, give it to God. Let him give you courage in that place. Let him bring you confidence. Who would say, yes, I need more? Not to raise your hand for me, but just to God. I'm going to keep my eyes closed. In fact, I'm really not looking. If you're here and you say, oh man, I need more confidence. I'm an undertaker. At best, I'm a caretaker. And I'm so afraid, and I let myself be a slave to Egypt. I just rather go back and make bricks than walk into the things God's got prepared for me. Would you give those up today? And then you hear it, everybody can open your eyes. Who wants to have a little more courage to step out and do what God wants you to do? Who needs that today? Who knows you have a dream that God's put in your heart? Would you all stand with me today? I'm going to close very quickly. And then I want you to walk out of here, and I don't want you to forget what God's called you to do and make a step towards that this week. Lord, we thank you for healing. Lord, we thank you for your touch on our lives. Lord, we thank you that when we walk through the storm, that you will be with us. And Lord, I pray that we would be more wet than dry. That we would get criticized maybe for stepping out a little too much than staying in our boat. Lord, we want to get adventurous for you, not for the sake of just having a more fun life. We want to get adventurous for you because you have so much more abundance for us. And I pray for the man and the woman and the child in this room that may be in a time of just, I don't know where I want to go next, that they would rest in you and that you would meet them in their place. In Jesus' name, amen. Make sure to say hello to a few people before you do leave. God bless you.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.